Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our next guest. He's a renowned economist and a tremendous teacher, as well as a well-known administrator. Schools all around the country, including Michigan State University, is president from 1979 to 1985, and that is M. Cecil Mackey. Hello, Cecil. How are you?
I'm fine, Jack. How are you?
Well, just fine. We have talked a couple of times about this economy, and we've talked with other economists this week, but we'd be remiss if we didn't get your take on the Bush-era tax cuts. And I guess it's really two different cuts in some people's minds. It's the cuts for the vast majority of Americans, and then perhaps a separate situation for the top 2%. How do you see that playing out?
Well, Jack, you've had the real expert on this, Charlie Ballard, who is one of my colleagues, and so you've had good insights into it. My own personal view is that we're probably going to see a compromise, and it may be one that the left-leaning part of Obama's support will not be too happy with. But I think both sides would like to see something done. It may depend on whether the Republicans are willing to compromise at all, or whether they insist on having all of the brackets renewed for their tax breaks for at least 2 years, or maybe even permanently.
What kind of compromise is really possible here, Cecil? You dealt with the art of the possible as a university president.
Well, I think the question is whether they will, say, raise the limit Obama has been talking about at $250,000 a year for income to $500,000 or perhaps even $1 million. Mm-hmm. That would be one compromise. The other would be to extend it for a shorter period. But those seem to be the main areas where some compromise might be possible.
In terms of the deficit and some of the other issues in terms of China owning a significant piece of the United States, which of those proposals is better?
You mean of the tax break?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not sure it makes much difference in terms of those kinds of issues, Jack. People get upset about China owning things when they're on a buying spree, as they are now worldwide. Mm-hmm. The Japanese were on a buying spree in the 80s. The same concerns were expressed, but we and other countries sold everything to them. It's been part of our history going all the way back to times when the Dutch and the British were a primary source of investment for our country and its development.
Cecil, whether the top tax rate is 35% as it is now or 39% as it was before the cuts under George W. Bush, those both seem very low compared to some other numbers historically. Certainly when Ronald Reagan took office, and it was in the 70s, and it was brought down to 50%. And I was looking back at Dwight Eisenhower's administration, and I believe it was 91%.
Yeah, some of us are old enough to remember that, Jack. 30, 35 doesn't seem very high compared to 75 or 90, does it? I think one of the things that is lost in the public debate on this is the fact that we have a much larger population, a much more technologically oriented society. People's expectations are higher, and it's hard to deal with all of those things with tax rates that that don't take them into account. So my guess is reality will have to set in sometimes. I guess the saying in Washington is, how far along can you kick the can down the road? But at some point, reality has to set in, and we do have to pay for things. If we really don't want a society that that cost what it looks like ours cost, there are going to have to be some horrendous changes in the way we live and what our expectations are.
Cecil, as a university president, you had to balance a budget. As a mayor, Virge Bernero has to balance a budget, as do all of the township supervisors and people who work in local government units. The state of Michigan has to have a balanced budget. Why can't the federal government have a balanced budget?
Jack, it's not a question of why can't it, it's why won't it. When we have a balanced budget amendment proposal talked about, as some of the newly elected Republican candidates have been talking, you go back to things like the wartime, and there are just times in our society when a balanced budget doesn't seem to make sense. But any other time, it's simply a question of whether we want to limit ourselves to the things that current income can buy, or whether we want to live higher in the hog than that.
What would a university look like if it had the same prerogative? And Luana K. Simon could say today, you know, I think we need this or this program, and we need this department, and we'll figure out how to pay for it later.
Well, if she could print money like the Federal Reserve can, it would make her job a lot more appealing. I wouldn't have minded having some of that in the early 80s. So that would have been a nice way to deal with our financial crisis then.
M. Cecil Mackey, a noted economist and a former university president at South Florida, Texas Tech, and Michigan State from 1979 to 1985. Also taught at the Air Force Academy, the University of Alabama, his alma mater, University of Maryland, and Florida State University. I think you just about covered the conferences, Cecil.
An academic gypsy, I suppose, Jack.
As you look back to your days as a president of MSU, what are you most proud of?
Oh, I think the fact that in some very difficult times, we preserved the integrity of the university, made decisions based on merit, and set a course during those difficult times for the expansion that followed rather soon after some crisis. But I think preserving the core values of the institution through all kinds of difficult and prosperous times is really the most important thing anyone can do. We increased access for minorities. We improved the status of women on campus. We did all of that while we maintained academic integrity, academic quality, and we laid the groundwork for the private fundraising that has come along and has matured very nicely, particularly under President Simon's administration.
Cecil, what is the toughest part of leading an institution that is as huge as MSU?
Jack, when I was at the University of South Florida, a good friend of mine about my age was a mayor of Tampa. And he once said, when he was introducing me, he said, you know, being the president of a large state university is much like being a mayor of a major city. And for either of us, it's like going on safari. You make one false step and something eats you. And I think living with that day to day is part of the job that, you know, you really realize you have to deal with.
Over a six-year period, you had to make so many decisions, and a lot of them very difficult. If you had one mulligan or one thing that you could have had happen differently, what might that have been?
Oh, I think there's no question about that, Jack. The deterioration of Michigan's financial circumstances so soon after I came to MSU as president.
Yeah.
I came here with higher hopes for the kind of financial support that one had reason to expect, and then the economy simply fell apart, and it was not possible to do some of the things that the board and I both wanted very much to do at that time.
One last thing, Cecil. We've heard about the promised grants, and we know that the cost of higher education is not going to decrease. Are we on the verge of pricing it out of the means for a significant share of our population? What is the danger of that?
Well, we may already have passed that tipping point, Jack. I think that goes to the fundamental democratic philosophy that has guided us relative to education. We talk frequently about the debt that we are leaving as a burden for our children and grandchildren, but we don't talk often about the debt that we have imposed on so many of the students who are going to college now. When a student leaves college with an undergraduate degree owing $75,000, $80,000, $90,000, I think that's been a social failure that the community has let down the people who are going to school, the people who need access. And it's also let down its own future, because that's just it's unconscionable to me to have that happen to access to higher education.
M. Cecil Mackey, our guest, one of the nation's foremost economists, teacher, and still a faculty member in the Department of Economics at Michigan State, and administrator at South Florida, Texas Tech, and president of Michigan State from 1979 to 1985. Cecil, enjoy your holiday, and I know you're headed off to Hawaii from Florida, and Michigan State's going to have to try to win a football game without you tomorrow.
Well, go green, Jack. Pull them through.
All right.